This week on the Vital Masculinity Podcast, we take a break from our regularly scheduled programming to talk about the coronavirus pandemic. Now, if you're a regular listener, you may recognize that we have already talked about this in a previous episode. However, it's been 9 months, which means our previous episode is ready to have some offspring. But in all seriousness, I think we all can recognize that things have changed since the beginning of the pandemic. We've learned new things have happened. And so what Steven and I want to do in this episode is sit down and talk about how we can take personal responsibility and how we can distinguish government mandates from personal acts of virtue, in particular, prudence. As we mentioned last time, this is not intended to be legal or medical advice, so we do encourage you to seek that for yourselves. What we want to do here is have a thought experiment to show you how we apply prudence, how we assess the situation, make a judgment, and act upon it, in hopes that it will help you to make your own prudential decisions. We'd also like to continue the discussion after the episode. So if that's something you're interested in, feel free to contact us via email, on Twitter, or join our Discord group. All of these things you can find at our website, vitalmasculinity.org. Now let's get on with the show.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another very special edition of the Vital Masculinity Podcast. My name is Steven Sloyer, and joined with me for Coronavirus 2 Electric Boogaloo is Mr. Brian Murphy. Brian, you ready to talk about COVID again?
kind of, not really. Yes. Yeah. It's been 9 months. I think we're ready for a baby. We'll see what happens.
Honestly, I was kind of disappointed. That was some Jeb Bush tier energy right there. But to be fair, it is morning, and I am currently in my pajamas and robe and on my second cup of coffee. So it'll be a very, very interesting topic. And I think what's interesting is, you know, you and I did this episode, I want to say it was May. I want to say it was middle of May. So technically it's been 7 months, even if we've been under lockdown.
No, it was in March. I looked. It was really? March 21st.
Dang. So we're almost there, at least on the day of recording, which is the 12th of December. But we're almost to a full 9 months, full term. Yeah, so this will definitely be, I think, a different tone. Kind of a reflection of what we said the first time, kind of a response to all of the current happenings over 9 months. And considering this does not look like it will go away anytime soon, maybe some, not just predictions, but I think more importantly, some actions we can take or some mindsets we can adopt for the next couple of months. But before we get into it, I do just want to point out that we do have a giveaway going until Christmas Eve at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you would like to win three free books from our, Manly Book Gift Guide, which if you have not checked that out, you definitely should. We'll put all these links below. You can go to vitalmasculinity.org/giveaway to enter. There's a couple of ways you can enter. You can get up to like 25 entries, I believe. We already got a bunch of entries. So, you know, if you want to make sure that you are considered to pick whatever three books from that gift guide you want, go and enter now before it is too late. But anyway, Brian, let's talk about where we are, because I think the last time we talked, we were at, what, 15 days to slow the spread, or 15 days to flatten the curve?
Yeah, if it was March 21st when we released it, it was probably several days before that we were just getting into this. I want to say that we were maybe a week, maybe even less into, well, at least me staying from work. I know that you guys were home a little bit earlier, but I don't think we knew what we were getting ourselves into at that point.
I don't think the American people knew what they were getting themselves into at that point. And I think that's a distinction to make, you know, America versus maybe the rest of the world. And you could say that there is a kind of an American spirit, which makes them as ornery as you and I are to such things. we've been seeing a lot of protests recently, rightfully so, I believe. But I think one of the biggest changes that has happened, and this kind of ties into the entire topic of prudence or wisdom, is And I just spilled coffee. Hold on a second. Okay, we're good. It's such a fun morning. Anyway, I think when we bring up prudence, when we were recording in March, there was a lot of, you know, scientific backing when we were talking about the importance of, you know, wearing masks, slowing the spread and things like that. And a lot of it was, you know, the entire MO was you flatten the curve of hospitalization so it becomes much more manageable and it's not a bump, you know, at one time that overwhelms the hospitals, which will have disastrous downstream effects. We've very successfully mitigated that across basically the entire world, let alone, you know, America. And the issue now is that there's just so many unscientific, unprudent things that have been coming out, you know. So, for instance, I can go out and get a beer with my dad in North Carolina, and I can order a beer up until 10 o'clock, but apparently after 10 o'clock I need to be home, and that's, I guess, because the coronavirus doesn't go out after 10 o'clock, or, you know, things like that. Or I think something else that's very interesting is that seemingly in response to churches in Virginia, where my in-laws are, they put a curfew from midnight until 5 in the morning, which I don't really know who's out anyway back then, but it does seem to be a kind of concentrated effort against midnight masses and Christmas services that typically happen and will, God willing, continue to happen regardless of the consequences, because none of these decisions make sense. I know you're in New York, Brian, so there's been a lot of really head-scratching things going on there as well.
12 to 5, is that just for Christmas? Because I have to imagine that, in general, that probably is trying to avoid people who are going out drinking, perhaps?
I want to say it's enacted as of, like, the 21st, sometime around then. It's right before Christmas. But, I mean, 12 to 5, like, why are these arbitrary numbers? You know, none of this makes sense.
Right.
And I mean, we could trust the plan, but I think one of the big questions that is raised is, and this kind of honestly gets back to our episodes on rights and our episodes on justice and natural law, but like, what role, when it comes to our safety and the safety of others, should personal responsibility versus a government mandate make? And this is, I think, something that has been debated, unfortunately, a lot more recently than I think it ever should be in America. But the sense that I'm getting is you have so many people, even on the right side of politics, that are kind of sacrificing any notion of personal responsibility at the altar of the government and kind of turning to them as their, you know, Lord and Savior in so many ways. And it's a very, very shameful thing because, you know, as we were just mentioning, like, none of these decisions necessarily make sense from a scientific or even just a rational point of view.
When it comes to prudence, that is something that is a personal thing. It, you know, a government, I guess government officials can exercise prudence, but ultimately prudence has to be something that each person is exercising themselves. And at a service level, I think when you have a government mandate, that tends to take away a person's personal responsibility, a person's ability to act prudently. Well, I guess it doesn't take it away, but it kind of limits the options that they can potentially choose, at least legally, when it comes to prudence. Because when we're talking about prudence, it's just to review the definition. You're assessing the situation, you're making a judgment, and you're acting upon it. And, okay, the government, they have their own experts, their own people who assess the situation. Hopefully that they're doing a good job of that. But, you know, they can only assess the situation at a very broad and high level. They're not going to be able to assess, you know, what am I doing with my family and friends, you know. So I think when it comes to that, when the government decides all sorts of things that maybe it doesn't really have the ability to actually prudently decide, it's kind of it's frustrating. It's maybe in some cases tyrannical, and it really takes away your ability to act freely without worry about some sort of consequence, either legally or whatever it might be.
And I think before we continue, something that's important to point out are the COVID survival rates from the CDC. Now, Brian, you and I are obviously not saying COVID's a hoax, it's made up. You know, none of that stuff's real. I know someone that personally died from COVID. They had a very long list of comorbidities. I am not excusing that. I am not saying that it's a good thing or anything like that. But for the ages of 0 to 19, the survival rate is 99.997%. For 20 to 49, so our range, Brian, 99.98%. 50 to 69, so about our parents' range, is 99.5%. And then our grandparents' range of 70 plus is 94.6%. And at that point, you're basically getting to the average life expectancy anyway. Now, again,
and these are the numbers from the CDC.
Right. That's a key thing. We don't want anyone to die. You know, we want everyone to be called to God and to account for, you know, their life at the appointed hour. But this, if we go back to prudence, this is not the way to handle things for a disease that is like this. We could also point out how, you know, it's flu season. It's November, December, January timeframe. The flu has completely disappeared. They're not even recording cases in some areas, which is, you know, very fishy, but also just because the flu, because of a lot of similar symptoms to COVID, has just kind of been subsumed into it. We also know that these tests don't really work that well. I mean, there's reports of like Elon Musk, who publicly said he got tested twice in each nostril. One nostril came back positive, one nostril came back negative. They did a COVID test, I believe, in Italy or Spain on a Coca-Cola bottle, and that test came back positive. So I guess Coca-Cola has the coronavirus. But I think the thing that's infuriating for so many people is that these, you could argue, draconian policies, or these nonsensical, non-scientific, non-prudent policies, are being put in place by many people that are shirking them, that are basically acting in bad faith, that are putting on a dog and pony show. It's just kabuki theater. There are double standards that have existed for a while that are really coming to light now between our, you could say, ruling class and the American people. And I'm not just saying this is a Democratic thing or a leftist or liberal thing. I mean, there are people on the right that do the same thing. And this is not okay. You know, this is not something that, if you were a prudent man, you should not be trying to manipulate people like this. There was a video that came out yesterday. I forget of who. I don't know if it was a governor like Cuomo or Wolf, or if it was someone that was like Secretary of Health for one of these states. I'd have to go back and watch it, but they were caught, you know, not wearing a mask, and then they stop right before they get on the stage, you know, kind of on a hidden camera, putting on the mask, walking the 10 feet to their podium and taking it off. And it's just because they're trying to, you know, like they don't adhere, for the most part, by these rules themselves. And that's a very, very shameful thing. That's an unjust thing that they are doing. And the question that I think this raises, Brian, is what should be our response to this? You know, is there civil disobedience in order? Do we just vote these people out? Can we even vote these people out? You know, what do we do about these things when first of all, it doesn't affect people like us? So, you know, I'm not saying our grandparents should be out in the streets without masks on rioting or things like that, but what is the prudent response to this? Is there even one that you can think of?
I want to backtrack for a second. I think that's an important question to address, but I think I'd like to talk a little bit more about the role of prudence here. Because as we were talking about before, you know, we recorded our first episode 9 months ago, and I think that there are a lot of questions. You know, they were still gathering evidence. Okay, we knew that this coronavirus was a serious thing. We didn't really know what the survival rate was. We didn't know how contagious it was. We didn't know, who was going to get it, what measures were going to be able to stop it. So I think in that situation, it made sense to be a little bit more cautious, to, have 15 days to slow the spread. I know that I personally was even saying, like, this is kind of stupid. Like, why are we staying home? But, okay, I guess we can take that. But, now we're 9 months into it. People are still getting locked down. It has nothing to do with flattening the curve anymore. It's really just about, let's make sure that no one gets coronavirus, or, like, hardly anyone gets it. And I guess you could say that maybe we're trying to keep the hospitals from being overwhelmed still. Okay, sure. We look at the data that comes in, and I think there's a few factors we have to take into mind. Okay, let's say they say that perhaps people who have no symptoms, asymptomatic, can spread the coronavirus. Okay, what does that mean? That means that we have to worry about all sorts of different people who don't have any symptoms at all, and perhaps I'm spreading it and I don't even realize it. Okay, that's something to worry about. They say that it's very contagious. Okay, it can stay in the air for 3 hours on surfaces, for even longer. Okay, those are all things to take into account. Also, maybe it's killing 3% or whatever. Now we know that that's not really the case. But there's all these different factors that go into it. And I think that kind of goes to how do we prudently assess this? I think another thing we have to consider is, okay, maybe perhaps everything that the government is saying, everything that the media is saying, that's 100% correct. I don't know. I don't really think that it is. I think it's pretty close, but let's just say that it is. Even if that's the case, each person has to make their own prudent decisions, and even the government has to make prudent decisions. Okay, we want to help and keep people safe and healthy and try to avoid as many deaths as we can, but we also have to take into account, people's livelihoods, like people, losing their jobs. Maybe they commit suicide because they're hopeless. We're all social distancing. People are depressed and locked in their homes, and they're not getting to see their family and friends. And there's all of these different factors that go into making this decision. And, someone might say, hey, I would rather, get sick, because I'm not really, personally, I'm 20 to 49. I'm not really worried about it. Like it's like any other cold for me. And I might say, okay, well, if someone's above 70, maybe I'll avoid them. Maybe I'll put the mask on. We'll socially distance. We'll take all these precautions. But if I'm going to just go see my other friends who are, 20s and 30s, or my parents who are still, they're in the 99.5% range, maybe we'll decide we don't want to follow those standards. And you might even have older people who are like, hey, I've lived a good life. I want to see my grandchildren. I want to see my children. I don't want to stay home. I know that even at the beginning of this, I knew a lot of older people who are like, no, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to social distance. Like, it's, some things are more important than just trying to live at all costs. So I think that when we consider, do we want to resist? Do we want to, what is the response to these government mandates? I think it is a personal thing. And I think that's where prudence comes in. And I know we have all these sorts of people who are saying, no, we have to follow the government no matter what they say, we have to follow all the experts no matter what they say. Okay, that's a little extreme. And what experts are you following? Because we can, that I think this is the way that science works, is that you have different people who have different perspectives, even different experts who have different perspectives. And then you have economic experts, you have experts on, relationships. There's all these different factors that you have to take into account. So I think it's really up to each person to decide, okay, how am I going to act in each situation. Okay, maybe I'll act differently with my friends who are 20 to 49 than I would with old people if I'm going to talk to my grandparent or something like that. So I think that kind of depends on the situation. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It's almost like people should be exercising prudence. Yeah, you know, I'll be blunt and say that there is a very worrying trend, and there has been for decades. This is not new by any means. There's a very worrying trend of people, we'll say men since that's our intended audience, foisting any personal responsibility they have onto others. And whether that is a government, whether that is, you know, an organization, whether that is another person. And this, you know, this looks and manifests itself in many different ways. It manifests itself in the guy who's 35 in his mother's basement, playing video games all day. And it manifests itself in the guy who is, you know, waits on his governor or whoever to tell him how to live his life. And that's a very worrying trend, because that is not only the absence of prudence, but it is the absence of courage. The absence of courage to act. And we don't need men like that. Those people are not men, because they're not being virtuous. They're doing what they are told. And now let's be honest. I don't want to fall into this motivational bullcrap that everyone can be a leader if they want to. I've been through enough corporate seminars and stuff that stuff, I mean, it's just buzzwords. The amount of times you hear synergy and things like that, if all of our leaders, you know, synergized together, we'd have a much more successful organization. Like, bullcrap. You know, bullcrap. There are people that are naturally going to be followers, and there's nothing wrong with that in life. And I think, you know, touching briefly on the political things, like, you know, it kind of shows you how many people are actual leaders and actual followers. And that's just the nature of human hierarchy, which is not an evil, but it is necessarily a good thing. It's a natural thing. But people need to take personal responsibility. You know, I want my grandparents to do what is best for them. And if they decide that they should be able to go out and see their grandchildren, then God bless them. I want my, you know, I'll give a personal example. I was very, I guess you could say, belligerent. I was in Delaware a couple of weeks ago. One of my uncles passed away of cancer, not COVID or anything like that. I think I mentioned that before. And after the memorial service, there were 7 of us that all went out to, I think it was like a Buffalo Wild Wings of all places, one of the few places that was open. And we're all related. We've all been with each other for days, if not weeks. And we had to have 2 separate tables, only 6 people at one table and 1 at the other, but we could move freely between them. And, you know, we had to wear masks the entire time that we were not actively taking bites or drinking. And that stuff makes no sense. That stuff makes absolutely no sense. And there is no reason that any self-respecting man should put up with that stuff. Because it's a travesty of justice in many ways as well. Because we're foisting these draconian laws onto people. And a lot of it really is just about power and control now. I mean, I'm tired of all this stuff, man. I mean, we've been dealing with it for 9 months. And I think it really raises the question of authority and obedience. There are people that have authority in our lives, and rightfully so. Government is not an intrinsically evil thing. What the government does can be evil. What the government does can be good. Church authority is not an intrinsically good thing. The church can do some evil things, and we've seen throughout history the church, unfortunately, and the men in the church doing evil. People, you know, a person's authority, like, vested in himself is not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It depends on how people use it. So the question then becomes, are we to be obedient to authority at all costs? And I think the answer to that is no. And I don't even want to bring up necessarily like the constitutional arguments or things like that. I think those are pretty cut and dry. I think when it gets to a perspective of natural law and a perspective of really just our intrinsic human God-given rights, excuse me, that at that point there is a almost a duty to civilly be disobedient to unjust laws. And I think there are many, many ways that you could argue that these laws that are being passed in many states and in many places are unjust, because they restrict freedoms arbitrarily. They restrict movement arbitrarily. They are leading to tons of deaths of despair. They are leading, as we're seeing again, to the closures of people's businesses and their livelihoods. They're benefiting basically only big corporations and big tech. You know, these companies that can afford to basically take a bunch of losses, or actually probably even more so had the capital to begin with and the supply chain to begin with to adequately and I'll say quote unquote safely navigate during a pandemic. Your average mom and pop store does not have that. So in an age where there is basically, I'll say quote unquote, a war on the little guy, a war on the average American, and in particular, I would say a war on the average American man, as we're starting to really see with the cost in suicides and drug dependencies starting in, you know, pornography or OnlyFans dependencies picking back up or starting again, or starting anew, I should say. You know, it is our duty to resist so that we can help other people live a better life. Do you agree with that, Brian? I know it was kind of a sober turn.
I would rephrase what you said about obedience a little bit differently, but I don't know if I necessarily disagree completely. Let me know what you think, but I think ultimately we have the final responsibility. You know, we have to decide what authority to follow and what to do. You know, we have to use our own prudence. It's not someone else's responsibility to tell me what to do. Now, I will qualify that by saying I do think that we should be obedient to authority in all cases. But I'll qualify that by saying that there are some authorities that are not rightful authority. I don't think a government has the authority to tell me what I can or should not put on my face. I don't think they have any authority to do so. I don't think the church has any authority to tell me what to put on my face. So I think it's a matter of rightful authority. I think if someone has the authority and it's true and it's right, then you must follow it. But I think there's a hierarchy there. We must obey God before any government, before any bishop. You know, if a government says you can't worship God, if a church says we can't give you the sacraments, we're not going to give you confession, you have to disobey that because you have to obey God first. So God is the ultimate authority we have to follow. And that is one authority that we can always trust to follow. And you know, he's never going to tell us to do something that we shouldn't do. The government, they might tell us to do something that we shouldn't do. The church, they might tell us to do something we shouldn't do. But they do have their own authority instituted by God. And if they're telling us the right thing to do, then we should follow that. But it's ultimately up to us to determine whether or not they are telling us the right thing to do. Now, I think that as traditional Christians, we recognize that if the church is in line with tradition, we can't really counter that. But, and I perhaps to some extent, if the government's in line with tradition, we can't go over that authority and reject that. But I think there's a line here that ultimately we have to use our own prudence to determine what that is. So maybe what we can do here before we wrap up is do a little thought experiment about these four things that I have up here. You know, how would you address lockdowns? How would you address curfews, masks, a vaccine mandate? And keeping in mind that for the listeners, you know, we're just talking about our own prudential judgment. You will have to figure that out for yourself as well, but perhaps as we go through this, it might give you something to think about.
Right. I think lockdowns and curfews kind of go together. I'll kind of address those at the same time. For me, you know, I think there's a very obvious knee-jerk reaction with these things, and that is to kind of very openly and defiantly flaunt your disobedience to these things. And I think the issue with that is that, you know, let's say you're going to a Target, you know, and I guess this also ties into masks in many ways as well. But if you're going to a Target and you're disobeying, you know, the state statutes, don't take it out on the people that are working there. I think it's good in these times to find businesses that you can go to that will, you know, that need the support and that need the or that maybe even will not enforce some of these things like. Cough, cough, gun stores, cough, cough. I just think the first thing that's important, again, to state is that don't be belligerent to people that have no responsibility in doing things. Now, I do think that there is a very real need to maybe push back a little bit, because whether it's regarding lockdowns, if you are a business owner, whether it's regarding curfews, if you're an average citizen or things like that, if enough people push back, then it becomes very hard to enforce. And if enough people push back, then justice perhaps can prevail, whatever that looks like. Again, I'm not saying go to your Capitol and riot or protest or anything like that, but civil disobedience is a very good thing, and there's a long history of that working for the benefit of justice throughout the entire world. What are your thoughts on that, Brian? I think we should probably tackle that before we move on to the vaccine and masks in greater detail.
I would say I'm opposed to lockdowns and curfews. I don't think they make any sense.
They don't work either.
Yeah. Clearly they don't work. I mean, based on the data I've seen, I kind of wonder if they actually make the virus spread even more, just because Governor Cuomo, for example, was saying that he's concerned about, living room spread or something like that. Like, apparently most of the cases are coming from your own home. So, you know, if that's the case, why would you lock down? Why would you stay home? Now, I get the point that you don't want to be going out and, sucking face with a bunch of people at the bar. Not that that would be a good idea anyways, but, you want to be smart about it. But, yeah, I mean, does coronavirus stop or get worse after 10 p.m.? I don't think so. So having a curfew, I don't think makes any sense. Here's my thought on lockdowns. I think that it should be a personal decision. If I feel like I'm sick, if I feel like I might have coronavirus, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to go out and spread that. I think that's a smart idea. Perhaps if someone says they have coronavirus and is trying to go out and spread it, maybe you lock them down. Like, that would be a good example of a case where you lock them down. But just in general, I don't think that makes sense. If I had contact with someone that had coronavirus, maybe I quarantine myself for however many days it is. I think they're saying like 7 or 10 now. But okay, maybe that makes sense. But to say that everyone has to stay home, I just think that's ridiculous. I'll leave it up to the listener's judgment, but I don't see that being a prudential decision. I don't see that being a decision that the government can make, and I don't think that we should follow it. And I'd like to hear someone's argument that we should. I mean, I've heard them enough already. I haven't really heard a good one though.
Yeah, no, I agree with that as well. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you need to be prudent. Don't be like explicitly or knee-jerk just belligerent or defiant for the sake of that. You need to have kind of a higher reason for it. And you know, a lot of it could just be respecting your God-given rights and freedoms or your constitutional rights and freedoms. But you need to be prudent about it, like in all things. Don't... You know, especially don't get in people's faces if they so choose to not do things like this. Be just, give unto others what they are due. When it comes to masks, My approach is I will not wear a mask unless it's in a very small handful of establishments that I respect, and that, however so begrudgingly, ask I do. And the only reason I'll do that is because even though I you know, do not like wearing a mask, I don't believe that they have been shown to work that well, whether scientifically when it comes to the vaccine size, or I'm sorry, not the vaccine, the virus size, or with the actual data on like a macro level, like looking at spread with people with mask or areas with mask mandates and areas without it. But, you know, like my favorite bar, that's the only way they're able to stay open. And I know they're not happy about it. I know most people are not happy about it, but I'm going to continue to support them because if I don't, they're going to close down permanently. They've already closed their only other locations. So things like that are important to me to, you know, make sacrifices in. But that being said, again, you know, I don't agree with mask mandates, and I will, in every other scenario, just, you know, go without it. And you know, I'll give a story about a friend about how kind of crazy this is getting. I have a friend who just moved, and he lives, you know, like a 20-mile or 20-minute walk or bike ride to, like, you know, the top of a small mountain now. And he was, you know, he went up and he took his lunch up one day on a weekend and was sitting on a rock and eating all by himself. And then, like, four guys just kind of, like, you know, come up on the trail, and one of them's like, you know, you should really be wearing a mask, man. And it's just like, that's ridiculous. You know, like, at this point, this is pure kabuki theater. Like, what is the point of it? Or I'm sure you guys all saw that video of that guy at the Georgia Trump rally, like, on his knees begging people to wear a mask. It's like, don't do that. Don't be a dick. And also, just, I mean, that guy was a soy boy if I've ever seen one. It's frustrating. It is frustrating, and I think masks are the things that really get to people. They get to me. You can probably hear a little bit coming out of me. It's a very frustrating thing. I think I'll also talk about, like, the Karens versus personal responsibility. Don't be a dick and start approaching people. I think there's a very real reason to stand up for yourself, though, if you are approached by these things. Like, let's say you are approached by a Karen, or a, I don't know what the equivalent of a Karen would be for guys, at the store. But, like, you know, mind your own business, and if you are confronted, then you can defend yourself. But don't go out seeking a fight. Be prudent in your disobedience, and you know, just try to go about your life as normally as you can, I think is maybe the best way to put it.
If you can't social distance, it might make sense to wear a mask. That being said, I've looked into some of the recent studies that have come out, and one on asymptomatic spread says that, now this is from China, so I don't know how much you want to trust this, but I don't know. I kind of, well, I mean, I don't trust China, but I haven't really seen a strong reason to suggest that I should trust that it is spreading asymptomatically either. So I'm not really sure. But this study, for example, said 9 million people, and only 300 of them got it asymptomatically. I don't know how you measure that, but it was in the Annals of Internal Medicine, I believe. I can, we'll get it that link in the show notes. But that's like point, I think I'm calculating it's like 0.003% or something like that. So if that's the case, then this is not spreading asymptomatically. I don't know. Take that for what it's worth. And but on the other hand, there are, before the pandemic started, there was the study that came out from New England Journal of Medicine, very respected journal, that said masks really don't work out in public. You know, they work in a medical setting, but if you don't have someone that's not sick, or you don't know if they're sick, it doesn't really do much. There's also a study that came out a couple weeks ago that said the same thing. Like, we've studied it. I think it was a Dutch study, and we can get you all the links to these, that also said they don't really work. You know, maybe they work slightly, but it's kind of negligible. There's not much of a difference between the group that wore masks and the group that didn't wear masks. So I don't know. I don't really know if the masks really do anything. I don't know if it's being spread asymptomatically. Maybe it is. Maybe they do. My thought is that on a basic level, if someone wants me to wear a mask that's my friend, I'll wear a mask. If they want to wear a mask themselves, like, I'm not going to be a jerk to them. If they want to social distance and maybe they don't want to go out to a social gathering, okay, that's their call, their prudential judgment. Personally, I don't want to wear a mask. I'm not worried about getting it. I don't know of anyone that I would spread it to that I'm actually in contact with that I'm worried about them getting it. I don't think that you're going to get it from just going to a gas station for 2 minutes. I don't think that, you know, if I can go to a restaurant and sit down and take my mask off, I should be able to go to church and sit down and take my mask off. So, and especially if I'm outside and walking by myself and no one else is around, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask in my house like they said that you should do in Pennsylvania. I'm not going to wear a mask in my car when I'm by myself. Like, there's just all these ridiculous things about masks. And I don't want to wear a mask anymore. And, you know, that's my prudential judgment. I think that it's a reasonable judgment. You can choose otherwise based on your own research and prudential choices.
Yeah, vaccines, especially since now that is coming out now. I know I'm personally not getting a vaccine. My wife's not getting a vaccine because, again, I mean, like, this is something that has a very high survival rate. I'm pretty sure that my wife and I have already had it. I know you've said at some point you think you may have had it. This is a very real thing where, I mean, I'm not anti-vax. I've become a lot more skeptical, I guess you could say, of vaccines in general now because of all this stuff. But it's one of those things, you know, and I think many of you may agree, where, like, the more you're pushed into something and really mandated, you know, whether it's by a government or, I think, more sinisterly by private companies to use their services, like flying or, I don't know, leaving your house, that's when you really start questioning things. And I'm very, very skeptical and hesitant to see the role that a lot of companies are taking in, you know, basically mandating the vaccine to use their services or products. I don't think that is just at all. I think that really infringes on both personal and constitutional freedoms. And I think should it get to the case where it become a widespread phenomenon or become a government mandate, that is the time for real, true, actual, I'm going to try to watch what I say here. I'll say disobedience. that may be the biggest way to, you know, cover it. I know you probably have a very similar opinion to me, Brian, but, you know, you don't go along with things that infringe on your God-given rights. You shouldn't go along with things that are against the natural law. You shouldn't support things that are based on evil. I don't know, and Brian, you may know, you may not know, like, what comprises what they use to make this vaccine, you know, whether it does have to do with aborted fetuses or things like that. I can't say one way or the other because I've just not done enough research, and there's a couple different vaccines. But, you know, like, that stuff worries me. And that is, I think, the biggest, you know, you could say, battleground coming up that I think a lot of people will be fighting.
Yeah, that's basically my take as well. I don't get the flu shot. I'm not worried about getting the flu. If I get the flu, okay. And that's kind of my take on coronavirus as well. Because of the survival rate for my age group is 99.98%. So I'm not worried about it. I don't have any other conditions that would potentially, you know, make me want to get the virus, get the vaccine. I guess if I did, maybe that would be a different decision. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you have conditions or you have concerns, then maybe you get the vaccine. One thing I would look into, which Stephen was talking about, is that a lot of vaccines are made using these aborted fetuses, these aborted children. And I would certainly not get one of those. from what I've heard, I haven't looked too much into it. One of the vaccines, I don't remember which one, does use an aborted child and the other one doesn't. I'm not going to comment on that. Maybe we can, I'll look it up and we'll put it in the show notes. But I would take that into account. The other thing is that these were really rushed. And there's just studies that they haven't been able to do. It's like some people are concerned that how is this going to affect fertility? They don't really know. I even saw some comments from, I think it was the Pfizer CEO saying, if you get the vaccine, like you still might get coronavirus. why would you be saying that if we're so sure that this is going to work? And then you have people like Dr. Fauci saying, okay, but after you get the vaccine, you're still going to have to wear masks and social distance. And I'm like, okay, well, what's the point in that? And so there's all sorts of concerns here. But, you know, some people say, well, I don't like Trump, so I'm not going to get the vaccine. I think that's stupid. But at the same time, like, I don't like that it was rushed. And, you know, whether it was Trump or Biden or whoever it was, like, you know, there's lots of things that I think you should take into account. So, you know, maybe if you're 70 plus years old and you have diabetes and high blood pressure and all sorts of things, maybe you get the vaccine because maybe you're not worried about having kids anymore. So I think that's a prudential decision, but I don't really see any reason for someone who's strong and healthy and young to get it. You know, that's something for you to look into, and we'll add those links and some of the things that we mentioned in this podcast into the show notes.
I agree. And I think maybe a good way to kind of wrap up this episode is to just kind of reiterate what we talk about almost in every episode or on every post or really in every single, you know, interaction we have as the Vital Masculinity Project. You're going to get beat down in life. You're going to get assaulted. You're going to get attacked. You are going to face difficulties. Don't make yourself a victim, obviously. Don't try to pretend that there's a boogeyman around every corner, but be prudent. Make wise decisions. Make wise judgments. Make wise observations. And do your absolute best every single day, every single moment to be a virtuous man. Stand up for what is right. Stand up for what is true. Have courage to do that, those things. Be temperate in what you consume. Don't just, you know, consume all negativity or all things that are going to bring you down or to get you worked up into a frenzy. Be just with how you interact with other people. Love God, love your neighbor. Have hope in the future and have the courage to act on, you know, and fight for it. And have faith that God will come through and that good people will win. That doesn't mean you become complacent in anything you do, but it's a very important thing to still have. Don't get, you know, black-pilled, as they say. Don't become a doomer. You know, the world is not ending no matter what happens. And you will always, as long as you choose to, be able to live another day and fight another day.
The last thing I'll add is that we need to take responsibility. We need to take personal responsibility. The government can't take responsibility for us. You know, that they have the responsibility to govern, but ultimately when it comes to our own choices, we have to take responsibility. And as we say, virtue makes the man, and virtue requires acting justly, acting prudently, having fortitude and temperance. And we have to exercise those things. We can't look to someone else to do that for us because that's not what being a man is about. We have to do the right thing. We have to have the fortitude and the courage to stand up and do what we think is right, even if the government, even if your bishop, even if your mom or your dad or whoever it is says something differently. If you know what is right, you have to follow that. And I guess that's all I can say is be a man.
That is exactly it. And we need men. We need men with whatever is coming down the pipe, with everything that is happening in the world. We need men. So we hope that you will answer the call. And like we always say, you know, remember that virtue makes the man. But we do want to thank you for listening to this sometimes upbeat, sometimes a little downbeat episode on our 9-month COVID update. Definitely check out the show notes below. There's links to everything we've mentioned before, the giveaway, the Manly book list, our newsletter, our website, all those sorts of good things. And stay tuned, because we do have, like we kind of mentioned in our last episode, a special announcement coming down the pipe in the next couple of weeks. I think everyone will enjoy it, and especially if you liked episodes like this, it is going to be a very worthwhile addition to our project. But in any case, thank you again for listening, gentlemen and ladies. And always remember, without a doubt, that virtue makes the man. Have a good one.